I mean, this is, we didn't ask if I could preach today. This is just something that Matt asked me to do a long fair time ago as the start of a new series on Mark's Gospel. So if you look to Mark chapter 1, and it's the first 20 verses. And the reason I say that is because there's a theme coming through this passage that I've had here before, spoken about before. It's what we've just been talking about, that God wants us to follow him in the places where he wants us to go. So, like I said, I didn't choose this. It was what was given to me. So let's read from Mark chapter 1. I hope it's close to what's up there. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Just pray. Father, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that every time we read your word and understand it, you, the God of creation, the all-powerful God, are talking to us. We can hear your voice and we can choose what we do about that, Father, whether we're going to be obedient and follow or whether we will just continue with what is easy for us to do. So I thank you for this passage and pray that you'll help us understand it as we look at it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you drink the water, please? Okay. We're looking at Mark's Gospel, and starting a series, you would normally perhaps go back and look at the history and what's happening around at the background of it. But because this is set in a time that we all know about, we know the Romans were in charge, we know that what the setting was like for Jesus. So I'm not going to do a full background check, but I'm going to look at just a couple of things that interested me, and I hope that they will interest you. For a start, a lot of I'm so nervous today. A lot of the scholars like to call this the Gospel of Peter. And it's because they believe that Peter shared his eyewitness account of what Jesus said and what Jesus did to Mark, probably John Mark, who we can read more about particularly in the book of Acts. And so John Mark was around with Jesus, so he had eyewitness to what happened, but most of this would be what Peter had seen and heard. The next thing is that it's the shortest of all the Gospels. And for that reason, I actually recommend it to people who are inquiring. I usually carry a little Mark's Gospel in my car, and if they are interested, I give it to them. It's not only the shortest, but it's the fastest moving. Jesus is here saying, doing, is there saying, doing, and it keeps going through. And also, there's not a lot of long teaching. There's no Sermon on the Mount type teaching in this. So it's a good overview of the gospel. And it's a good overview of the most important part of the gospel. Mark doesn't go back to the genealogies and so on. He starts with Jesus starting his public ministry. So when he says it's the beginning of the gospel, it is beginning of Jesus' active life in the gospel ministry. Some scholars seem to agree that why the others are so much longer than what Mark has got is that Mark was the first one written, possibly around 55 AD, and the others have taken Mark's gospel and then built on it. They've added what they think is important. So we get the Sermon on the Mount and other, like John chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, those chapters there where there's a lot of teaching. So perhaps the first of all of the accounts, the others look at it, they agree with it, they don't change it, but they add to it. So that's what we're looking at in this series of Mark. Now, if you look at verse 1, it says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. So, as I mentioned, it's the beginning of his public ministry. Now, how does that start? Verse 2. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Now, for the people reading that, it was the Messiah, the one who was going to come, as they believed, a human king who was going to overthrow whoever their enemies were at that time. At this time, it was the Romans. But he was going to be, prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now every word in that first verse where he's talking about, you know, who the gospel is about, it says there, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Christ, the Messiah, was one that was going to be a saviour for the world. The Son of God, a title that's used for Jesus to recognize that his humanity and his divinity. It's not just that he's a son of God in the sense that we're all sons of Adam and we've all come like that. It's more like a family thing, that he is, in fact, God, divine as well as human. Every word in Mark's description of Jesus is important. Jesus, a genuine historical person who walked this earth like other men. And we are able to learn from Jesus' walk on earth. He didn't only come, although it was his main purpose, to save us, as we learn at Easter, but he also came to be our example of how to live in a world like the world we live in. And so it's the gospel of Jesus, a genuine historical person. It's the good news of the Messiah, the promised anointed saviour of men. And it is the good news of the Son of God, a son in more than just the sense, as I was mentioning before, of being the descendant of Adam. So Mark begins with Jesus' adult life, and if we look at verse 9, the baptism of Jesus, John's out there, he's in the desert, he's dressed like the prophet, he's declared to be a prophet, and he's out there baptizing people, and now we see that Jesus comes to join with the others. Verse 9, at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, for us, I want us to try and think, why was Jesus baptized? People were coming to be baptized for the repentance of sin. Why did Jesus travel from Nazareth to Galilee, from Nazareth in Galilee to the Jordan in order to be baptized? Now, I did a little bit of a check. And it's not in kilometres, it's not in miles, this is kilometres. It was 35 kilometres. Now that doesn't sound far, does it? I mean, you know, if we drive from up where I am at Ngunnawal down to Canberra, it takes about 35 minutes in the car, roughly. So that means that he had, it's 35 kilometres, sorry, I meant to say. So that means Jesus had to walk that far. But not only did he have to walk that far, they didn't have bike tracks and they didn't have roads to follow. Jesus was on dirt roads. Jesus was walking in the hot weather. All the things that would have made a person who wasn't really motivated, giving you an opportunity to say, well, it's not for me, I'll turn back, this is not important. Now, the fact that Jesus, who didn't have any sin, was prepared to walk that distance in order to be baptized, what is that telling us? I think it's showing us, surely, the importance of baptism. Not as a way of salvation. Being baptized does not change our position before God. If we know him and love him as our Savior and we get baptized, as we go under the water, we are demonstrating that we want to die to the old self. We rise up, signifying that we want to live now with Jesus in his risen power. And if we know and love Jesus and we do that and we come up, we still know and love Jesus. Nothing has changed. Except that we have done something that he asked us to do. It's a step of obedience, not a step for salvation. If we go to get baptized and we don't know and love Jesus, and we get baptized when we come up out of the water, we're still the same. We don't know and love Jesus. Baptism is nothing about salvation. It is a statement that says, I am now going to live for God. Jesus did this at the start of his public ministry. Jesus is saying, I am leaving my past behind, and I'm going to now go on and do all the things that God has planned in advance for me to do. Just as he says he has a plan for each of us. So, Jesus obeys what God wanted, the Father wanted him to do. He goes, God the Father, make sure that the people there know that this is his son who he loves. He's now out in public as the Saviour sent by God. So what happens next? Well, I find this a little bit scary if I'm a new Christian. What happens? At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days and, of course, 40 nights, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and angels attended him. Okay. What do we see here? We see Jesus as being human. Jesus as humanity. He's just been declared his divinity, and now we see his humanity. But let's think about this. It was not a foolish mistake that led Jesus out into the wilderness. It wasn't something that he just dreamt up and got himself into trouble. He was not being frivolous or careless. It wasn't even his choice to go out into the wilderness. Remember the human Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he pray? Father, if it's possible, take this from me. But of course, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus being led by the Spirit of God, being prepared to obey the call of God, went into the wilderness where he was tempted. It wasn't his choice to go, but it was his choice to follow the Spirit, to follow the Spirit's leading, to follow what God the Father wanted him to do. And that is what we have to get our heads around. What does God want us to do? The Spirit that led him out there was the Spirit of God the Father. And so he was doing what a part of the triune God was leading him to do. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus, as God the Son, was prepared to follow God the Holy Spirit so that he was doing his Father's will. Tempted by the devil. When we come to Jesus, don't we expect a comfortable sort of a life? Do we expect to have, as the false preachers teach these days, health, wealth, prosperity? Isn't that what the Christian life is meant to be about? Well, the Gospels make it clear that that's not the case. I mean, apart from Jesus, where he finishes up on the cross, there's Paul and his life where he was showing in advance all the things he was going to suffer for God's sake, for God's purpose in his life. If you are looking for an easy, cozy existence, don't accept Jesus as your Saviour and Lord. But if you want an exciting life, if you want a life that's fulfilled, because you're doing what the Almighty God wants you to do. If you're prepared to exercise your faith by stepping out of your comfort zone. As a church, we need to be prepared to step out of our comfort zone. As individuals in the church, we need to be prepared to step out of our comfort zone. Otherwise, we're not exercising faith. While ever we stay in our comfort zone, we're just trusting the world around us and the existence that God's giving or allowing us to go through at that time. The next point I want to make is that Jesus proclaims the good news of the kingdom. Verse 14. And you have to excuse me again. My nerves today are making me thirstier than normal. I'm sorry about that. Verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee. What was he doing? Proclaiming the good news of God. The good news of God. Forgiveness of sins. Freedom from bondage to sin. Freedom to live for God. The good news of God. The time has come, he said. What time? Through the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the Messiah coming for the salvation of men. And that time had come. Jesus was here. But it's not only the fact that Jesus was here, it was the perfect time in history. The Roman government had built the best roads that they'd ever had in the world up to that point. They had a common trading language, the Koine Greek, that was used by everybody in their trading. So they could had perfect roads to go on, or improved roads. They had a message that they could give in a language that everyone could understand, or a lot of people, most people could understand. And so the time had come. And then he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Now, what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom in anywhere is where the king reigns, where the king's in charge. And so the kingdom of God is Jesus coming and proclaiming the gospel. The kingdom is near. Why is the kingdom near? Because Jesus is going to be offering them through his death on the cross the opportunity to come and be part of God's family. The kingdom is near. Once we put our faith in Jesus, who has saved us through his death and his resurrection, we are part of God's family and we are free to follow him and make him our king, to let him rule in our life. It says, repent and believe the good news. If you are going to follow the good news, you are going to have to repent. Now, repentance is letting God explain to us what he wants so that we turn around. We're going in one direction, and please understand what I'm saying here. We're going in one direction and he shows us that this is the thing that he wants us to do. Not everyone here is rebelling against God's will. I'm not trying to say that. But if we're going in a certain direction, he will show us if that's the direction he wants us to go in or not. Now, if it's a direction he wants us to go in, we keep going. If it's not the direction he wants, are we prepared to step out of our comfort zone, turn around and start going in a different direction? That's where faith comes in. Faith that God knows better than us what we should be doing. Now, not everyone here is the same as me, but boy, did I stuff up my life by making my own decisions. And boy, am I glad that Jesus forgave me and washed me clean and set me on a completely different path to whatever it would have been before. That is what the good news, the gospel, is all about. Okay. Verse 16. Now, I want you to understand there's a time gap between verse 15 and verse 16. So look at verse 15 where it says the time has come. He said the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe. Jesus is out teaching that. That's what Jesus is doing. So then we come to verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. Well, that's normal. They were fishermen. But then Jesus says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And then we get this extraordinary verse, I think. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now that would be like us. Jesus says to us, come follow me. Leave the public service job you've got. Leave your teaching job that you've got. Leave that exciting job that might be doing gardening or something that you really love. And come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I will help you live out a fulfilled life doing what I want you to do, what I've got planned for you. Now, these guys did it straight away. They left their nets, they left their own business, and they followed Jesus. Why? Because they'd heard about Jesus. They may have seen Jesus, but they certainly would have heard about him, heard about his message, heard about what he was preaching, freedom. Not freedom from the Romans, but freedom from the sin and the guilt. Freedom from, you know, the doubt. Am I doing what God wants or am I not? Should I be looking at something else or should I just... They're the sort of things that are normal for all Christians. And here, they were prepared to follow Jesus. That's faith. That's stepping out of your comfort zone. Stepping out of the boat. Out of your comfort zone. At once they left their nets and followed him. Then we come to verse 19. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Now, I don't know, but I sort of figure back in those days they didn't go to university to learn to fish. These were common men. Not stupid, but common. Mainly, I would say, untaught, except for their fishing, what the family business was. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. I sort of stumbled a bit when I read that he left their father Zebedee in the boat until you get the next phrase. With the hired men and followed him. So they didn't leave abandoning with nothing to do, nothing to way of sort of going on with the business. Zebedee, he didn't leave his boat. He wasn't called by Jesus to do that. He continued in what he was doing. But the sons who had been called by Jesus to come and follow him did it straight away. Why? Were they stronger than us in their faith? Or were they just prepared to look at what God wanted and be willing to step out of your comfort zone? For some people, it'll just mean doing exactly what you're doing. I was just fortunate that when I came to Jesus, I prayed, God, I will go wherever you want me to go and I'll do whatever you want me to do if you can give me a new life. He gave me a new life. And I have tried, not perfectly, I'm certainly not a perfect person, but I have tried to rest on God to show me where he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. Hence the reason that we're leaving the church. Comfortable here, but God showing us there's more for us to do at the other place. Okay, finally. In these 20 verses, we have Mark introducing his main theme of Mark's gospel. Jesus shows that God requires obedience and service from those who would be his followers. He followed the Father's will. He got baptized. He went out preaching and teaching. That was God's plan for him. The others left their jobs. That was God's plan for them. Those who are going to be his followers should be baptized as a matter of obedience, not as a way of being saved, but as a sign that we are saved and we're going to be publicly follow and serve God. If you are a relatively new Christian and you haven't been baptized, I pray that you think about it. And a simple reason is take a step of obedience. God said to the disciples, go and make disciples. Doing what? Baptizing them. So if you're young in your faith and you haven't been baptized, I ask you to pray about that. We know that if we go where God wants us to go, that Jesus will be with us, as he has promised that he'll never leave us or forsake us. What about times when times get really tough? When things appear to be out of control? Now, if this hasn't happened to you yet, be thankful, but it will happen somewhere along the line. The times when things get really tough, where will Jesus be then? I reckon 99% of us know this. I'm going to read it because I enjoy it and I hope you do too. Where will Jesus be when times get really tough? One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach, walking with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Now, that's not a biblical statement as such, but it's based on the biblical truths. And I know it's true. How do I know it's true? Because I've had it happen. 3 years of depression, wondering if it's ever going to end. And then the light at the end of the tunnel becomes a light, not the train coming towards me. God carried me in that time because there was never a time when I didn't believe that God was with me. No matter how bad the depression got, the times when I couldn't get out of bed and so on, in those times, I believed that God was in control. Couldn't understand it, but I believed it. He was carrying me. But they're the sort of things that you don't fully experience if you're not prepared to step out of your comfort zone. Stepping out of your comfort zone is exercising faith, and that is when we know and experience God the best. Okay, we're going to sing a song, and Graham's going to help me use the words of the song to sum up what I've just been talking about, what Jesus was getting at. Sorry, Graham, can we have the first verse? That's my fault, I didn't make it clear before. Before the world began, you were on his mind. Psalm 139 says that he made us in the womb, created us in the womb. And every tear you cry is precious in his eyes. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Why? So that we can put our faith in him and know that we'll have eternal life. Everything was done. Why? So you would come. God wants us to come to him. to live with him, and he made it possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Next verse, please. Nothing you can do could make him love you more. And nothing that you've done could make him close the door. There's not one person here who has bad enough. There's not one person out there who is bad enough or done things bad enough that God can't forgive them. Because Jesus has come and he is spreading his gospel. Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done, why? So you would come. Because of our sin, we were separated from God. God wanted us to come to him, to live with him and to serve him. We are saved to serve. And so it was so we could come. And finally, the last bit. Come to the Father. Though your gift is small. Now the Bible promises that we get gifts. All different gifts. You might think your gift is small, but it's from God, so it's not small really. Broken hearts, broken lives, he will take them all. The power of the word, the power of his blood, everything was done so you would come. I'm going to do something a bit outrageous in this church, not in all churches. But I'm going to ask if there's anyone here who thinks that perhaps they want to be baptised. Perhaps that you do. That's lovely, darling. We'll wait a little while, and I hope I'm still alive to be here to see that happen. There might be people here who've got broken hearts and broken lives, and they want prayer. There may be people here who aren't saved and they've been looking at Jesus and what he's done for a while, people out there. But while we sing this song, I'm going to ask if there's anyone who wants to come forward for prayer, for commitment, for whatever. We're singing about coming, that all that Jesus has done is so we can come. So if you'd like to come forward, please come forward as we sing the song.